Happy Easter. Good to see you all here this morning. When we gather together like this for Easter, we may come with an image or a picture in our mind of what Easter was like. And oftentimes the picture is seen as Jesus usually standing with usually a white robe, kind of with light around him. Is that a picture that sometimes comes to your mind? And oftentimes we get those images, those pictures from paintings of artists, perhaps from icons that we see. But what's interesting is that the scriptures themselves never really describe the actual resurrection, what you might want to call the event of the resurrection. But basically what the scriptures convey to us is the experience of people who encountered the risen Christ, their experiences. And all the gospel writers share stories of these experiences of Christ raised from the dead. Today's is from John's gospel. Today is John's gospel, the gospel we just read. And I want to engage a little bit with this gospel reading to give us something to leave here today thinking about. Here's what we just heard in the gospel reading. So Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb on this, what we know as Easter morning. She's going there to anoint the body of Jesus. Probably that was a custom in that culture in that time. One would go to the tomb to anoint the body, and oftentimes that was the role that the women played in that culture and in that society. So she goes to the tomb, and it says as she arrives, she notices the stone has been rolled away. In those times, the tomb was not a tomb you'd go into the ground this way, but sort of almost like a cave-like kind of tomb. And there'd be this huge stone rolled in place, which was not meant to be easily moved. It was meant to secure the remains of the deceased. So Mary arrives. She sees the stone has been rolled away. And it's interesting, as I tell this story, listen to the women. Listen to the men. It's an interesting dynamic. So Mary Magdalene goes there. She sees it, and she runs. And where does she go? She has to tell the guys. She goes to tell Peter. And it says, and the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is probably John. And it says that the two of them then run to the tomb. And the detail is so intriguing in this story. It says that it seems like John was a faster runner because he gets there first. That's a point that's made. John gets there first, and then Peter arrives. There are some scripture scholars who suggest that this is John's gospel, and it was probably written by the followers of John, who perhaps is the John in our gospel reading today. And so they want to make John look good. So John gets there first. They can say John got there first. But they also know that Peter played a leadership role in the early church. And so they give Peter the role of catching up with John, but going into the tomb first. Just a very interesting little fact there. So Peter goes in first, it says, and then John goes in. And they see that it's empty. They see that it's empty. Remember, these are people who had followed Christ for a few years. And the last few days have just been devastating. These are followers who have denied Christ. They've walked away from Christ. They've avoided any connection with those around the crucifixion. They're almost off in hiding. And they come to this tomb, and it's empty. And as our gospel reading says, they kind of come to an awareness that Christ has been raised. Christ has been raised. What an incredible experience that must have been. And what do they do? What do Peter and John do in our gospel reading? They went home. That's what they're reading. They went home. You're like, they went home. They just went home. And they're out of the story. But the story picks up now with Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene does not go home. Mary Magdalene stays in that place of struggle, sorrow, weeping, loneliness, trying to discern what is it that has just happened. She doesn't walk away from it, but she enters into it. And she also goes into the tomb. And she has an experience of the Holy speaking to her, shown through angels speaking and revealing to her what has just happened. And she still can't fathom this. Mary doesn't go home. She stays there. And as she's there, she sees it's described as a gardener. And you can see she's still struggling because she says to the gardener, where have they put him? Where is his body? And she comes to realize that the gardener is Jesus. Some scripture scholars suggest that the gardener was the gardener, but that Mary has just had this experience of Christ alive, and she's able to engage in a new way and sees Christ in this gardener. Whether you agree with that or not is up to you, but she experiences Christ, who reaches out to her and engages with her. And it's the beginning, really, of this ministry of going forth. Mary doesn't go home. She begins to engage with the world around her. Now, parenthetically, I mean, eventually Peter and John do have an experience of the resurrected Christ. They become leaders in the church, and they do experience that new life. But on this day, on this Easter day, they went home. And I'd like to kind of think about that today as we gather together. We've come here on Easter Day. We've gathered to be fed and nourished by word and sacrament. We've gathered together to celebrate Easter, to celebrate this new life. I'd like to invite you to not just go home. Just go home. That was nice. Go home. But rather, I mean, we're all going to go home in some way. Eat a meal, but you know what I mean by that deeper sense of just go home, and that's, but perhaps be engaged by Mary, who begins to engage with those around her, begins to not walk away from this suffering and struggle, and as we know from some of the other gospel writers, the followers of Jesus are told to go ahead to Galilee, and there you will find Jesus, the risen Christ. Christ, the risen one, is already there in Galilee. He's there among the suffering. He's there among the oppressed. He's there among the hungry. He's there among the ill. He's there with those who are struggling. And we're called, invited, to reach out to that. Do you hear that? So often when we hear the story of Easter, tell me if this is kind of a way that we might sometimes understand it. We see that Jesus lived. He died a terrible death, suffered, died, was buried, but he was raised from the dead. And if I believe in Jesus, if I say I believe in Jesus, that'll happen to me when I die. I'll be raised from the dead when I die. Oftentimes that's how we understand resurrection. But what I want to suggest to you is, that's not the fullness of this message of this day. The message of the resurrection is Christ revealing to us the life that we're called to live, the life that we're called to share. And he models for us the need to reach out to the suffering, to the oppressed, to the world, to bring about in a broken world wholeness and healing. Do you hear that message? That message that resurrection is not just something at the end of our life, but resurrection is new life that we're invited to bring about in our own world, in our own time. St. Paul's is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. 60 years. 60 years people have gathered here in different buildings, but here to be fed and nourished, to live this community life together. And I gotta, as I was thinking this past week, the folks who've come before us, and I would suggest even us who are seated here, we're not a people who just go home. We're not a people who just avoid the challenges of our world around us. But we engage. We're called to bring about this new life. Let me give you some examples. I wrote these down because there began to be so many, and I probably will miss some. Our Appalachian Service Project. Every summer, youth and some adults go with them. About 40, over 40 or 50 go to the mountains of Appalachia to be with folks who are poor, people who are struggling, to fix a porch, to fix a roof, to fix a window, and to be in relationship with these folks. That's our young people. They're not just going home. They're taking time to go to be with others. Some of our young people just recently, amidst all the gun violence going on in schools, so many of our youth didn't just go home for a moment of silence, but they've stood up to engage in this conversation, to engage in this, in where we need to go as a nation and as a people. Our young people stand up and go there. They don't just go home. Our refugee ministry is a ministry that reaches out to folks who are refugees, who are immigrants into this country in the midst of a time where so many folks are being deported from our country. We have folks who stand up and say, no, we'll welcome people to this country. We'll welcome folks and provide a beginning for them in their lives, beginning a place to live, provide furniture and food and give them a beginning in their life. We don't just go home, but we reach out to help others create a home. Our migrant farm worker ministry, not even an hour away. Farm workers who pick the food that we eat every day in our homes, who live in very difficult situations. And we try to reach out to them in so many different ways. I mean, we collect clothing for them to have. We collect sheets and towels to somehow improve their life a bit. But we're engaged with those folks. We don't just stay at go home, but we engage with them. Habitat for Humanity. We've engaged in building homes for folks who never dreamed or imagined they could have a home like this. And we leave our homes to be with them as they build their home and reach out to folks who find it difficult in their world today. There are folks here in Cary who are homeless, who fit a difficult time in their life and have no place to live, don't have enough food. And we have a ministry here of folks who will leave their homes to spend time with some of the homeless folks in our area, to be with them, give them a place to sleep, provide food, provide relationships. We live in a nation of such racial conflict, racism, the great sin of racism, and we here just don't walk home away from that, but find ways that we can engage and continue in relationship with each other. Here at St. Paul's, we have folks who've come together and worked together to deal with this sin of racism in our midst. Not go home, but to confront it and be present to it. Our young children reach beyond themselves through the leadership of ministries here. They've visited folks at Glen Air, for instance, just going beyond themselves to visit folks they perhaps wouldn't always visit and be with. Just a couple of weeks ago, our children were sorting sweet potatoes to provide nourishment for folks who are hungry. Our children involved in Note in the Pocket, just collecting clothing for people who need clothing, reaching beyond themselves, reaching beyond. We also care for those within the community. Our Care and Share ministry is there to care for people when they're having a difficult time, when they're sick, in the hospital, ill, just going through a difficult time. Can I bring you a meal? Can I drive you to your doctor? Can I just give you a phone call to see how you're doing? Can we bring you communion? Can we visit you in some way? Just ways that we reach out beyond ourselves to reach out to people. Friends, that's resurrection. That's the Easter story. That's engaging with the world around us, finding where Christ is and joining Christ in that resurrected life. And we are a part of that. And I invite you this day to realize that Christ came to reveal to us the wonder of this creation. God came to redeem the world. The other day we had the Stations of the Cross here with the children, and one of the great phrases was, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." Sometimes we can think that Christ came just for us Christians, or just for me. You've been saved? It doesn't matter if you've been saved. It doesn't matter if the world is in struggle and suffering and oppression. That's the resurrection. That's the question we're challenged to reach out to. That's the world we're called to change. Christ came for all of creation and to reveal to us, I like to use this phrase, to reveal to us where this dream is heading, where creation is going. In a sense, remember our future. Remember our future. Jesus invites us to remember who we are called to be and calls us to walk into that wonder, into that new life, into that dream. And we are those people. We are the body of Christ. So I invite you today to not just go home, Well, I mean, I'll go home too and have some food. I'll probably collapse after this week. But but you know what I mean in a deeper way. Not just go home and say, that was nice. Not to go home and say, oh, Christ rose from the dead. Hopefully when I die, I will too. We're called to something much deeper in this resurrected life. Invite you to, if you find a way to, if you're new here, engage with us here at St. Paul's in some of these wondrous ministries, and I've just listed a few, find ways that we can continue this journey together. We stand on the shoulders of those who 60 years ago began this parish, their courage, their faith, their dream, their vision. We stand on their shoulders, and folks will stand on our shoulders. And how will they speak of us? How will they speak of us? Hopefully the wonder of what those early founders did will continue as we move forward as a parish. Let us live into this new life, this life we're called to through Christ's resurrection. Happy Easter.